Urge you to become a partner day after day. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone as we talk about Countdown to Armageddon. Now, the final countdown is the official title of the DVDs that he's put down. We've actually taken some of the CDs, put them together as the Countdown to Armageddon. But the title of Pastor Crone's DVDs is Final Countdown. Of course, we're talking now about the moving into a world economy. And Pastor Crone, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't you just pick the story up there, and I'll let you just run with it.
Well, again, Dr. Matita, again, with our final countdown, our whole premise is just trying to, frankly, share the truth with people. And, I think that's just as the days and the weeks and months continue on and what's going on in the world, my heart really breaks for people because I think there's obviously not only a great delusion, but it's almost a delusion within a delusion. And part of that is, the pun that they used to see on X-Files, that the truth is out there and it was supposedly so elusive. And even some of the recent movies in Hollywood, Tom Hanks and the latest one, of course, Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code and all that stuff. And they act like if somebody is going to somehow discover the truth about what's really happening in the world and life in general, that either you have to be some sort of brainiac, a super intelligent person that is great at figuring out cryptograms, and or you have to be with the in crowd to figure out all the symbolism. But for your average Joe Schmo like you and I, it's pretty much impossible. But that is could be further from the truth. And the irony of the situation, Dr. Monteith, is the truth is out there, all right. It's underneath people's noses. It's in the Bible. People will give credence to the Mayan prophecies that are going out right now. That's really big. They'll listen to the medium from Edgar Cayce, and transmedium was an abomination to God, by the way. They'll listen to Nostradamus and all these guys, and yet they don't want to give credence to the one book on the planet that has demonstrated itself time and time again, not only authority but the veracity that came from God, but is very clearly, plainly revealing what to expect when you're in the last days. And because of this strange dichotomy, what makes it even more worse is people are not only picking it up and not reading it for themselves, people are not being taught Bible prophecy in churches anymore. And so even those people who technically are supposed to be the people of the book, the Bible, they don't even come across it themselves. And so we tried to do our part in getting the information out. And with the Final Countdown series, we just took 10. There's a whole lot more. God's very replete of how you know you're in the last days. But we took 10 of them that are pretty apparent. The Jewish people, modern technology, worldwide upheaval, the rise of falsehood, wickedness, apostasy, one world religion, one world government, and you're right, that's what we're on tonight, is the one world economy. And boy, I've actually been itching to get to this, Dr. Monteith, because if ever there is a sign clearly in Bible prophecy that we are living in the last days, it's this one. And it's been so blunt the last 6 months that hopefully after tonight our discussion will be even more clear that, folks, all this stuff that you're seeing going on with the economy is not by chance, it's completely planned, but it's not just planned from the higher-ups, folks. It has been planned for several centuries, and little do people know that it's going to be the birth of the Antichrist kingdom that the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago.
And I think it's really so interesting that we saw recently the group of 20, the G20 as they say, and that Barack Obama was over there, Gordon Brown, and basically the decision was they were going to set up all sorts of new rules and regulations to cover international finance so we can solve the problem. What they're doing is setting up an international financial system, ladies and gentlemen, as prophesied thousands of years ago. We'll be right back. Well, Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, and where we get that is clearly from the book of Revelation, of course, and many passages. But let me just read with you one of them that clearly talks about this, the sign that we are headed towards a one-world economy. Revelation chapter 13 says, "Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth, and he exercised all authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and those who belong to this world to worship the first beast." Speaking, of course, of the Antichrist, and this is the false prophet who's promoting him. He required everyone, great and small, rich and poor, slave and free, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one, folks, and this is everyone, could buy or sell anything without that mark. And so according to this just one passage of Scripture, folks, and it's very plain, you don't sit there and go, gee, I wonder what that means. It's obvious there's going to come a day, the Bible predicted, roughly 2,000 years ago. How do you know you're in the last days? Well, when all the inhabitants of the earth are going to be under a unified economy that ultimately the Antichrist himself is going to control, literally, all the buying and selling. That's your economy right there. One day the Bible predicted clearly that the whole world is going to be unified in a one-world economy, but here's the punchline, folks. It's satanically inspired. And so the question, of course, is, hey, gee whiz, could that really happen? I mean, could the world really be deceived into creating this one-world satanic economy? And is there any evidence that's going to take place, just like the Bible said? Well, of course there is, folks. And the first way that we know that, and we expose this on the Finally Countdown series, which, by the way, folks, once again, I have to just reiterate, you will see these things with your own eyes. We worked very hard at trying to provide as much information for the scoffers. I mean, I used to be one of the biggest ones as well. And you will see the talking heads, the Fox News, CNN. You will see these people with your own eyes spouting this stuff off. It's not just somebody reading an article that you could, you know, pass off as somebody reading it, you know, on JoeSchmo.com or something. This is on the news. Here's the punchline, though, if you know what to look for, and most people don't. But the first way that we know we are headed, folks, and frankly are in already a one-world economy, is due to a universal banking system, okay? And you got to put yourself in the Antichrist shoes, okay? How in the world is one guy going to grab control? We've already seen in the last programs how he's grabbing control of all the religions on the planet. Then he's grabbing control of all the governments on the planet. But he is going to grab control of all the economy as well. Because remember, he's going to get it to the point where one guy, literally with the push of a button, if you will, is going to control over the world what people buy and sell. And we already see that this is happening because, folks, we already have a universal bank. And you need to have a universal bank, okay, if you're the Antichrist, so you can dictate universal monetary exchange. And folks, right now there already is in place and or in
motion. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy's just talking about the fact that he's told in Revelation 13, the time of, come a time when you neither buy nor sell, unless you, of course, have the mark. And I mean, but we're talking about anywhere in the world. How could they ever have a situation where no one in the world would be able to buy or sell? And yes, of course, they had their association with this global financial system. And this is exactly what is coming down the line today. Prophesied, you know, 2,000 years ago, and yet we are witnessing as it comes to pass. So pick the story up there.
Well, and that's just it. You know, again, for the scoffer, and I don't just say that lightly. Again, folks, I used to be one, so I understand it. But, you know, I didn't have anybody point me out with that. I used to be a part of the Antichrist system. I was a big promoter and worker and believer in the one world religion and the New Age movement and things of that nature before God had mercy on me. And I didn't realize until after I got saved, and I was early on in Bible college and came across, the, you know, obviously the book of Revelation, and I go, whoa, I was a part of that. I had no idea it was the Antichrist system. So I say that with compassion. I understand that, folks. I'm not mocking anyone. I understand what it is, and it's just people haven't been presented with the truth. And again, that's our heart cry with this series. But folks, you got to understand that right now there is absolute, total economic control being taken place over the whole world. Not a section of the world. Why should you pay attention? Why is these times so special, even as opposed to even just 10, 15 years ago? Hey folks, it's happening on a global scale, not a local scale. Now, many despots, many rulers throughout history have grabbed large chunks of the world and brought them together, but not on a global scale that we see today. And that's exactly what needs to happen for the prophecy to come true in Revelation. That's exactly what's happening. We already have, folks, right now, a universal bank that the Antichrist needs to have if this is going to come to pass. It's the World Bank. It's the world's leading lender of money to the nations around the globe. But wait a second, if you're the Antichrist and if you're going to have a universal bank, then you've got to have some sort of universal lending institution to oversee the dispersion of the money, right? Well, folks, there already is one in place. It's been for quite some time, the International Monetary Fund. It oversees the world's financial systems and fixes the exchange rates. But wait a second, if you're the Antichrist and you're going to have a universal lending institution, you've got to have some sort of a universal money exchanger to funnel all this money to all these different countries, right? Well, folks, you already have that, too. It's a universal electronic banking system called SWIFT. And there's other ones out there that they make sure that all the different money transactions in the world match all the different currencies. So it's starting to come together. In fact, it'd be really convenient if you could just get rid of all those different currencies and bring it down to one. And that's exactly what they're doing. We'll get to that hopefully in a little bit. But wait a second. If you're going to have a universal money exchanger, then you better have, if you're the Antichrist, you better have some sort of universal strong arm, you know, to punish those people who don't want to go along with and who don't obey this world banking system. You know, because, you know, maybe people don't want to buy into this system. Well, folks, what do you think was the reason for birthing the World Trade Organization? What role do you think they're actually playing? Who are they? They are the universal strong arm. They not only set the trading rules for the world, folks, but they do punish all countries who do not obey with billion-dollar fines and sanctions. And yes, folks, it already happens. It happens here in America. Everybody has to bow down to that strong arm. And folks, lest you think that people are not serious in forming this one world economy, what in the world do you think was the significance of the birth of the euro? What was that, folks? For the first time in man's history, you see a multitude of nations coming together under one unified currency. In fact, recently, Robert Mundell, he's the considered the godfather of the euro, he gave a blueprint for a single world currency, okay, including the U.S., England, and Japan. And now, since the initial plans for the world currency were shot down by the U.S. more than 50 years ago, folks, that tells you it's been in place for quite some time. We'll get to a timeline here hopefully in a second. But he said this. He says, it is now time, listen to this, this is the godfather of the euro, it is now time and useful and in the United States' interest to move toward global monetary reform and to provide some leadership. The lessons learned from the creation of the euro could help moves toward a one world currency. And that's the godfather of the euro. You tell me that somebody's not serious about all this currency, all this grouping together, ultimately leading to the ultimate goal, and that is a single unified currency, just like the Bible said would happen when you're in the last days. In fact, what's very interesting is he readily agreed that we here in the United States would never, probably never go along with this, voluntarily that is, and so he proposed, quote, to force us into it economically. Now, folks, this is why I've been itching to get to this, because what in the world do you think is going on right now and has been going on bluntly since last fall? Give me a break, folks. We are being forced into this one-world economy, and it's going to lead to a unified currency. We've been forced into it economically, just like the godfather of the euro predicted would happen, folks. It's all been planned out. In fact, they're very blunt about it. In fact, I'm very shocked, Dr. Monteith. They used to hide and couch their plans in certain terminology. And but boy, they're just out there. They're just flat out calling for a new world order. They're calling for a one world currency and a one world economy. Just if people are paying attention, listen. Gordon Brown, folks, he's a huge proponent of this. He proposed that this international financial crisis has given the world leaders a, quote, unique opportunity to create a truly global society. Now, remember, this is the whole premise we see with every single thing that these guys do, folks. You create a crisis, then you can manage the outcome. Okay, same thing with one world religion, same thing with one world government, and it's the exact same thing with a one-world economy. And that's what this crisis has done, folks. It's a manufactured crisis so that you and I will bow a knee and go into a one-world economy. Okay? And he said that Britain, the United States, and Europe are key right now to forging a new world order. The alliance between Britain and U.S., and more broadly between Europe and U.S., can and must provide leadership, not in order to make the rules ourselves, but to lead the global effort to build a stronger and more just international order. He said, uniquely in this global age, it is now in our power to come together so that, listen to this, so that 2008 is remembered not just for the failure of a financial crash that engulfed the world, but we can together seize this moment of change in our world to create a truly global society. Translation? Create a crisis, you can manage the outcome. But he's not the only one, folks. Leaders all over the world are saying we've got to use this economic crisis to usher in some sort of global economy so this never happens again. Former President George Bush, while he was still in office, folks, he said, quote, it is essential that we work together because we're in this crisis together. Together we will work to modernize and strengthen our nation's financial system so we can help ensure this crisis does not happen again. The European Commission President Manuel Barroso, he said, quote, we need a new global financial order. Morgan Stanley Chief Executive John Mack, he called for a new global body to oversee the financial crisis. The CFR member Jeffrey Garten and Timothy Geithner of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, folks, both recently called for a, quote, new global monetary authority, a global financial dictatorship operating across borders. This is on and forcing nations and corporations to register and adhere to strict monitoring regulations. But, folks, they're not the only one. Countries all over the world are jumping on the bandwagon. China, folks, not that long ago, just back in the end of March, was calling for a new global currency to be controlled by the International Monetary Fund. Russia was starting to make burps about the same kind of reforms that they were behind that as well. And then this one, you talk about being blunt, folks. Okay, the director of the World Trade Organization announced in Paris recently, folks, quote, we are drafting the constitution of a single global economy. Folks, you can scoff at the Bible all you want, like I used to, okay? And I was the real hypocrite, okay? Because I'd be the first one that would say that, you know, you Christians are a bunch of dumb idiots that had to have a book tell you what to do. I'm much more smarter and intellectual than that, okay? And besides, we all know that the Bible was a book whipped up by man to scare people into submission. And it's just full of errors and contradictions. But see, I was the real hypocrite, folks, because I never picked it up for myself. But how in the world, folks, could the Apostle John get this down to a T, that there's going to come a time when the whole world's going to come under a single global economy that's going to be the Antichrist system? And we are seeing right now, folks, right now, before our very eyes, leaders around the world that are drafting the Constitution for a, quote, a single global economy. In fact, this new constitution, economic constitution, quote, would govern virtually every kind of business transaction from buying land to sweeping buildings. And then, of course, the big one that caused quite the stir was Henry Kissinger, of course, noting that, quote, all nations can now participate in a common world monetary system. And the reason why, folks, is remember, what put this over the edge? Why are people doing this? Why are they all of a sudden now the woodwork calling for this? Because of this, quote, crisis. And the whole thing's manufactured. We'll get to that hopefully in a second. But it's not just with the one-world economy, folks. The whole plan, just like the Bible said, is we're headed for a one-world currency, a single currency, okay? In fact, there's a group out there called, please check it out yourself, folks, the Single Global Currency Association. And they urged, you know, you talked about the G20, Dr. Monteith. They recently urged the G20 in Washington to initiate research and planning for a single global currency. They're taking it to the ultimate step. Two, and this is a direct quote, to achieve the primary goal of the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference and the primary goal of the International Monetary Fund, which is stable currency around the world. The association supports the calls for British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, for a new Bretton Woods and a restructuring of the global financial system. This call for research and planning echoes the work done in Europe in 1980s and 90s for, guess what? That's right, the plan for the euro. It's almost like the euro was just kind of a precursor, a practice round, if you will, for what ultimately is going to take place. And they're confident that when they take a look at the costs and benefits, that the world, listen to this, direct quote, the world will embrace the goal of a single global currency to be managed by a global central bank within a global monetary union. How can you get any more clear than that?
And, of course, if you're going to have a world government, you can't have any place for people to go to hide. I mean, they wouldn't. A lot of people wouldn't want to go along with this. This has to involve the entire world. And what better way than with a global currency, all economies interlocked? It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening before our eyes. This whole financial crisis was created and engineered to bring this about. And as Henry Kissinger says, it's either the new international order or chaos. Which would you prefer? We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. You're right ahead.
Well, again, you tell me that this hasn't been well thought out and planned out, Dr. Monteith. I mean, the Single Global Currency Association was formed back in 2003.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Early February, I think it was the 14th of February of 2008, where he really went into the background of the fact that all the state attorney generals knew that the predatory lending practices, the home mortgages situation that was being foisted on the people were illegal, and they wanted to intervene. And you pick up the story there, Pastor Billy.
Well, and that's just it. You know, please check it out. In fact, I just checked it out today just to make sure, Dr. Monteith. People, the title of the article, please check it out yourself. It's still up there on the Washington Post, Predator Lenders Partner in Crime. Okay? You check it out. It's up there. And he wrote this, folks, 3 weeks before he was taken out. He clearly exposed that the crisis that we're now experiencing was deliberate, anybody and everybody in all the states were prevented from stopping it from taking place. But again, you create a crisis, then you can manage, the outcome. But that's not all, folks. Not only do we see that the world is turning into and rushing into a one-world economy, there's a call already for a global currency. They're already setting a date, folks, for the global currency. But little do people know that these same economic powers have already divided the world up into 10 economic kingdoms to, you know, assure proper control. And their plan is that each kingdom is going to be ruled by an individual dictator who's going to be under the authority of a world dictator. And you might think, well, hey, there's no way, man. There's no way the American people are going to stand for this, et cetera, blah, blah. We're going to stand and fight and whatever. But, folks, they've already got a plan for that. And you know, one of my theories is this is why that you see that foreign troops have been, for quite some time now, been trained on American soil. And I think it's pretty obvious because, you know, when the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, you would think, hopefully, that it would be kind of tough for an American to have a hard time shooting another fellow American. But, hey, if you had a foreign army here, then probably wouldn't have so much inhibition, would you? But what the people don't get, folks, is the significance of these 10 economic kingdoms, okay? And again, it's because they have not read the scripture, and I'm talking even Christians. And again, there is, for some reason, Bible prophecy is being gutted out of churches today. We get emails, Dr. Monteith, we get phone calls every single week. Why does not my church, why do people not, and I'm talking Christians, why don't they ever teach on Bible prophecy? But they don't get the significance of this world being divided up from an economic club from Rome. Certainly that it's their plan is to have 10 economic kingdoms. And the reason why is because the scripture clearly reveals that there's going to be a revived Roman Empire with a 10-horned kingdom that's going to appear on the last days. Revelation chapter 17 shows us that. It says this, and now understand this. His 10 horns are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. That's the Antichrist. And listen to this. They will all agree to give their power and authority to him. Now, wait a second. You mean to tell me there's going to come a time when we see a worldwide kingdom of the Antichrist is going to be split up into specifically, you talk about specifics, folks, specifically into 10 kingdoms? I mean, could that really happen? Well, folks, what in the world do you think is going on, again, with what I just talked about earlier, and what this global association is calling for with the splitting up of the world into these different chunks. We had the birth of the European Union. What in the world is that, folks? For the first time in mankind's history, you see a region of countries coming together economically with their own currency, of course called the euro. But, folks, the euro is just the beginning. Read the newspaper. Do some research. It's all over the place. It's happening all over the world. The euro is the watershed event. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Right now, folks, there is the formation of the African Union, which is a region of countries in Africa doing the same thing, coming together economically with their own currency that they're proposing called the Golden Mandela. And they're, you know, purporting to have that out by 2010. There's been the talk of the North American Union, which is the same thing coming together economically between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And there's plans right now, folks, for a South American Union. There's an Asian Union being proposed, a Central Asian Union, a Mediterranean Union, a Pacific Union, just to name a few. And, folks, gee whiz, if I didn't know better, I would say for the first time in mankind's history, right now, even during this radio interview, the world is being split up into different economic kingdoms right before our very eyes, And gee whiz, Dr. Monteith, I wonder how many, when the dust settles, they're going to end up. I'm kind of thinking it's going to be 10, just like the Bible said would happen in the last days. But that's not all.
Well, they're talking about the North American Union, the South American Union, Asian Union, Mediterranean Union. There's certainly Middle East countries coming together, the Asian Union. You know, it's almost as if there was a master plan being carried out, and I would like to suggest that there is a master plan being carried out. And if you don't see it, you don't understand that this is the first time in all the history of mankind where everything is in place. Of course, the key is there will be no place to run. There will be no place to go. All nations will be forced into this out of the economic chaos that is coming. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if you think things are going to start getting better, why, you've been you're reading the wrong book. Maybe you ought to open the Bible. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, and again, that's just the beginning point that we see. We not only see that, how do we know that we're in the last days, we're heading for a one-world economy, just like the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago. It's not only that we are right now, folks, being ushered into, with this latest crisis, officially a one-world economy governed by a global entity, and also the call for a one-world currency, but, folks, we are headed towards a cashless society, and that's very key. You see, if you're going to deceive people into creating a one-world economy, then you've got to have a universal currency. They're getting away with it a little bit now because they're having to filter and make sure that, you know, the currencies from one country go to the other. But you really got to have, ultimately, a universal monetary standard. And that's exactly, folks, what's happening. And we are slowly but surely, we've been conditioned to move to a completely cashless society. And let's just do some homework, folks. In the last century alone, we've gone from paper currency to electronic cash. For instance, if you didn't have any money on you, hey, don't worry, we got conditioned to, hey, just write a check. But hey, then after a while, you know, people got used to that, and if you didn't have money to write a check, then hey, don't worry, just charge it to this new thing called a credit card. But hey, if you don't want to pay the interest on your credit card, then don't worry, they came out with what was called the debit card, and you could take it directly out of your checking account. you know, and you don't have to pay interest. And then now, folks, what they're pushing, they've been pushing for a few years now, is all these convenient features, and that's the selling point. It's all about convenience. All these convenient features are all combined into one called the smart card. And smart cards in the industry, folks, are now being hailed, and this is your direct quote, digital cash or electronic purses. In fact, experts say that these smart cards are going to become the world's first truly universal currency. Okay, and most people say, "Well, what's a smart card?" Well, most people actually, if really, folks, you probably already, most people have one, whether you realize it or not. And a smart card is basically the size of a regular credit card, only this one contains a, not the little stripe on the back. This one contains a tiny microchip, okay, that can store and receive information. And because of this feature, okay, it's much more convenient and versatile than just your average everyday credit card or debit card. You can use them for all kinds of things. Just one card. Can you imagine how convenient this would be, folks? You could have one card that you could use as a personal ATM. You could use it to make purchases at stores, restaurants, vending machines, gas, toll roads, all the same card, folks. You could use it to make telephone calls. You could use it to access cable and satellite programs. You could use it to make purchases on the Internet. You could use it for vehicle access or getting into building access. You could use it to replace all your passwords and for your personal computer access.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess Pastor Billy Crone from the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. And Pastor Billy, before we go on, I want you to get your website out and tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry.
Oh, thank you. Well, we have a new website that's shorter in letters for those of you who get hand cramps with our old website. This one should be a little bit more convenient. You can reach us at getalifemedia.com. That's getalifemedia.com. Or you can just search my name, Billy Crone, B-I-L-L-Y-C-R-O-N-E, and then it'll take you where you need to go.
All right, why don't you go right ahead?
Well, again, with the smart card, it's very convenient. You could use it to even store all your loyalty programs, which is like the stuff that you do at grocery stores or even airlines, you know, your frequent flyer miles. You could use it to do rapid check-in at the airport or hotels. You could use that thing to be a personal identification holder. It could hold your Social Security number, your driver's license, your student ID, your health and insurance ID, voting information, picture, your fingerprints, and all of that on one card. Now, hey, folks, who couldn't use a little more convenience and flexibility in our busy lives, huh? I mean, imagine if you and I could just live in a world where we could get rid of all paper currency. See, that's the plan, folks. Smart cards, these smart card things, boy, they could even reduce the fear of being stolen, and they could be the end of all sorts of crimes. In fact, listen to this. It's like the panacea for the world. Listen to this, what this article says about this technology. It says the immediate benefits would be profound and fundamental. Theft of cash would become impossible. Bank robberies and cash register robberies would simply cease to occur. Attacks on shopkeepers, taxi drivers, and cashiers would all end. Urban streets would become safer. Security costs and insurance rates would fall. Property values would rise. Sales of illegal drugs, along with the violent crime, should diminish. Hospital emergency rooms would become less crowded. A change from cash to recorded electronic money would be accompanied by a flow of previously unpaid income tax revenues running in the tens of billions of dollars. As a result, income tax rates could be lowered and the national debt reduced. Well, hey, folks, don't you feel safer already? But that's just the beginning. Smart cards are supposed to not only provide the answer to all of society and a new sense of security, but it can only be used as a card itself. It's truly, folks, electronic. In fact, one of the latest things that they're doing, it's actually more popular right now, but it's coming to America over in Japan, is cell phone. Your cell phone, folks, are doubling right now as mobile cash machines. Okay, remember, cash is going electronic. We are headed, the goal is to get us into an electronic monetary system, because you can control that anywhere in the world. And right now, people are making using their cell phone to make purchases, from street vendors to pizza deliveries, or doing it at McDonald's. And if you don't have it already built in to your cell phone, you can get what's called a clip-on smart card reader. And in fact, one article said this, grabbing a burger is getting easier. Soon you will just have to wave your cell phone as you pass McDonald's drive-thru. Immediate gratification is always the best marketing tool. There's no dialing. There's no ATM. There's no fumbling for a wallet or drop coin, only radio frequency burgers. Oh, isn't it so nice if we could just get rid of money, if we could make it all electronic? But boy, folks, like a spider to a web, that's exactly it. Because once you get into that system, there's no way of getting out. Somebody has total control over your livelihood. Why is that important? Because the Antichrist, it was said 2,000 years ago, is going to control your livelihood, what you can buy and sell. We're headed straight for that. And folks, right now, just in 2000 alone, I don't know if the stat is currently, but just in 2000 alone, 4 billion smart cards were issued. And you tell me that ultimately this kind of technology is not going to be used against us, folks. And right now in Europe, check it out yourself, smart cards are not only commonplace, but they're soon going to become a necessity. England is expecting to have all governmental services online and will issue their citizens smart cards in order to access the system. Sounds very familiar, folks, what's coming here to America very soon with the Real ID card that you are going to need to have if you want to be able to open a bank account, if you want to be able to fly on a plane, if you want to go into government building, et cetera, it's already coming. In fact, the Pentagon has already made smart cards mandatory for 4 million troops and civilians in order, listen to this, why do they have to have them? In order to secure doors, listen to this, check out weapons and military hardware, listen to this, direct quote, get cash and buy food. Wow, that's interesting. You mean to tell me you can't buy or sell without that smart card? Where have I heard that before? Now, here's where it gets really freaky, folks. Okay, due to the promises of this smart card technology that's supposed to eliminate fraud and save money, banks are jumping on the bandwagon big time. Right now, MasterCard is working on turning their 600 million debit cards into smart cards. And speaking of MasterCard, they purchased 51% controlling of a smart card company called Mondex. Okay, M-O-N-D-E-X, remember that. Mondex just happens to be it's purported to be the only electronic cash system in the world that allows for multiple currencies on one card. In fact, Mondex was so excited, folks, about this backing from MasterCard, they stated, this is a direct quote, "This is the final stage in becoming a global reality. With MasterCard's backing, there is nothing to stop Mondex from becoming the global standard." Then if that wasn't weird enough, you had the president of Visa hinted. Now remember, folks, this is all working towards a cashless society, but it's working towards what hopefully we'll talk about the next interview is the mark of the beast, okay? Because remember, it's coupled with this one-world economy. You cannot buy or sell. It's electronic, and ultimately it's going to go on your forehead or your right hand. Listen to what the president of Visa is saying. He hinted at taking these tiny microchips from their plastic smart cards and putting them into much handier things. It gets smaller and smaller as you go, folks. He thought you could put them in your watch. You could put them even in a ring. I mean, gee whiz, what's next? Some sort of smart card tattoo or body implant? Well, folks, it's not that far away because I'm going to read to you a quote in a second. They're already calling for it, the credit card companies. But here's what's really interesting. Maybe this is just a coinkydink. I don't know. But it is, like you said, Dr. Monteith, almost like somebody's following the script. You see, Mondex, the company, is supposed to stand for, shortened form for Monetary Dexter, okay, Mondex. And, folks, I challenge you, go look in any dictionary and look up Monetary Dexter. Monetary means pertaining to money, and Dexter means right hand. Now, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. And, folks, you got to understand, you're thinking, well, gee whiz, there's no way. Okay, maybe we are heading for a one-world economy. And maybe you are going for a one-world currency. And maybe, yeah, we're going to an electronic monetary system. Okay, but there's no way that we see any signs that people are getting some sort of implant or something into the body to make transactions. Folks, it's already happening. In fact, it's the rave. Okay, people right now are paying stuff with the wave of their hand. Let me read to you this article. We expose this on this series, folks, in the final countdown. You can see the actual video with your own eyes. Clubgoers in Spain are right now getting implanted, folks, with chips to make payments. Okay? Listen to this article. It says, like a scene out of a science fiction movie, all it takes is a syringe-injected microchip implant for the men and women of the nightclub scene to breeze past a reader that recognizes their identity, credit balance, and automatically opens doors to the elusive areas of the club for them. They can, quote, buy drinks and food with the wave of their hand. You get it? And they don't need to worry about losing a credit card or wallet. Baja Beach Clubs International is the first firm to employ the VeriPay system developed by Applied Digital VeriChip Corporation. The company touts this application of the chip implant as an advance over credit cards and smart cards. Do you get the point, folks? Do you see how you get used to one technology and it ultimately gets smaller and smaller until it reaches the ultimate goal? And they said that Palm Beach-based Applied Digital Solutions unveiled the original VeriChip immediately after the 9/11 tragedy. They used that as a platform as to why we need to start doing these implants. They said, quote, similar to PET identification chips, the VeriChip is a syringe injectable radio frequency identification microchip that can be read a few feet away either by a handheld scanner or by the implantee walking through a portal scanner. Information can be wirelessly written to the chip, which contains a unique ID number. Now listen to this. This is where it gets freaky. Last year, Art Cransley, Senior Vice President of MasterCard, you already heard the quote from Visa, the Senior Vice President of MasterCard speculated on possible future electronic payment media. This is a direct quote. Listen to this. From the President, Senior Vice President of MasterCard, we're certainly looking at designs like key fobs. It could be in a pin or a pair of earrings. Ultimately, it could be embedded in anything someday, maybe even under your skin. Direct quote. The owner of this club says that this chip implant is the wave of the future. He says, I know many people who want to be implanted. Almost everybody already has piercings or tattoos or silicone. And the question was posed to him, will the implant only be of use in the bar? And he said, the objective of this technology is to bring an ID system to a global level that will destroy the need to carry ID documents and credit cards, in other words, cash. And during a recent American radio interview, he said the CEO of VeriChip, Dr. Keith Bolton, had told him that the company's goal was to market the VeriChip as a global implantable identification system. And he said the VeriChip that we implant here is not only for us, he said it's useful for, quote, what other enterprise that makes use of this technology. And in fact, he said that the VeriChip company told him that the Italian government, direct quote, was preparing to implant government workers. And folks, just real quickly, what they're doing is they've got one little piece that they're building that I just want to expose. Not only one world economy, not only one world currency, not only getting us away from hard cash that you can carry to electronic cash to ultimately something inside your body, but they're linking this system with a matrix type system, and that ties in all the finances together. Right now, folks, they're developing what's called the grid, okay, and it's the latest evolution of the internet. And they're able to do what basically took a decade can be done in weeks. And it's just a whole system that they're connecting everything to. I wish I had more time to get into it. But mainly I want you to see that they're building a system that's tying together everything. It's not just about the internet, folks. This is being used to tie together the whole system, the one world government, and certainly the economy. You have to tap into the system to start making transactions. Now, they've got this whole system that they're tying together as an economy. Now they're showing signs that now that you and I are used to having to get a part of this matrix, this economic system, electronic system, okay, to access, to buy or sell, they're starting to show signs of taking ownership back. And that's what we saw, folks, with China. China went back on its promises during the Olympics. It's gone back to censoring the internet. But it isn't just happening in China. It's happening in the United States. The Defense Department is banning employees and soldiers from accessing sites from the internet. Not only that, we talk about weird. The Berlusconi, the Italian president for the G8 presidency, said, quote, that he would use his country's eminent presidency of the G8 group to push for an international agreement to regulate the internet. He said the G8 has as its task the regulation of financial markets. He says, I think the next G8 can bring to the table a proposal to regulate the internet. It's like, what in the world? I mean, gee whiz, you think you got better stuff to do? Why is everybody so hot to trot to regulate the internet? Because, folks, the internet is the matrix system that they're tying the economic system. And once it all gets tied together, they're going to grab control of it, and you will not be able to access the system till ultimately you cannot buy and sell. Thailand is already reversing. They're starting to block internet insight sites, folks. But it's happening. You talk about, folks, this is just, what is this, just a few days ago, May 23rd. There's a bill out. Please check it out. It's called the Cybersecurity Act of 2009. And it is basically would give the President of the United States full control of the internet. And the plans are going to let the White House have access to all privately owned information networks that are deemed to be critical to the nation's infrastructure without regard to any provision of law, regulation, rule, policy, and the White House is going to be able to disconnect any network from the internet, including, direct quote, private citizens' banks and health records. And one guy says, well, I'm especially curious as to how you could take the telecommunications networks off the internet when they are in large part what the internet is comprised of. He said, listen to this, and if my bank was taken offline, well, I would think about going to my branch and asking for all my deposits in cash. But that's just it, folks. What if there is no more cash? What if it's all been turned electronic? You cannot get cash because we have been conditioned into a cashless society. Unless you don't think, folks, that they are planning on having you and I be able to access this system without some sort of electronic ID thing, okay, that you have to have. Remember, what was the goal of the Antichrist? You have to worship him. You have to take this mark. Otherwise, you cannot buy or sell. Rudy Giuliani, folks, if you were paying attention, we shared this video clip during the last election campaign. Listen to this direct quote. Here's his idea. He said, we should develop a tamper-proof ID card. And then if you got that tamper-proof ID card, listen, you would be allowed to work, pay taxes, get online, become a citizen, and follow the rules. I'll quote that again. If you got this real ID card, this tamper-proof ID card, you would be allowed to work, to pay taxes, to get online, to become a citizen, and follow the rules. The only thing he did not say, Dr. Monteith, was to buy or sell. And before you write that off, folks, as some sort of wacko conspiracy theory, this is exactly what Aaron Russo exposed shortly before he died. he was asked how he got acquainted with Nicholas Rockefeller. And he says, well, I got this call one day from an attorney woman. And by the way, folks, we share this actual interview on the Final Countdown study. He says, I got this call one day from an attorney woman I knew, and she said, well, hey, would you like to meet one of the Rockefellers? And I said, well, sure, I'd love to. And he says, we became friends, and all of a sudden he started to divulge a lot of things to me. And he said to me one night, there's going to be an event, Aaron, and out of that event, you're going to see that we're going to go into Afghanistan. Now, note, folks, this was predicted and shared long before these events ever took place. He said, you're going to see an event, and you're going to see that we're going to go into Afghanistan so that we can run pipelines out of the Caspian. And then we're going to go into Iraq to take the oil and establish a base in the Middle East, and then we're going to go into Venezuela and get rid of Chavez. He said the first two they accomplished, but Chavez they didn't accomplish. And he says, then you're going to all of a sudden see guys going into caves looking for people that they're never going to find. And he was laughing about the fact that they're going to create this war on terror when there is no real enemy. And he says, this supposed war on terror, you can never win the thing because it's an eternal war, and the whole premise is so you can, quote, always keep taking people's liberties away. And so Russo asked Rockefeller, he says, well, how in the world are you going to convince people this war is real? And he said, quote, the media. He said, the media can convince everybody it's real. He says, you keep talking about things, you keep saying things over and over and over again, and people will eventually believe it. And Russo comes back and he says, that's exactly what they've been doing. He says, they created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. They created 9/11, which is another lie. And then through 9/11, you fight a war on terror, and all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which is another lie. And they're going to do another on Iran. And he says, it's all leading one thing to another, to another, to another. It's all based on lies.
And then, of course, they said something about a chip. What was that?
Well, and that's just it. And when you come back from the little break there, I'll share the great quote that he said, folks. This is happening before our eyes. They're working towards getting you and I implanted. And if we say anything they don't like, they shut us out of the system.
And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who have a master plan, and you may not want to believe it, but it's there. It's written there in the Bible. It was written 2,000 years ago. Our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. We'll be right back. Go right ahead.
Well, remember, the context, folks, is if this prophecy is going to come to pass, one world economy, Revelation 13, the Antichrist system, is you not only need a one world.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866.
Here's what the difference is. This one would have an extra function. Folks, this is happening before our very eyes. It contains a dose of cyanide to remotely kill the wearer, the person who has the chip, without muss or fuss, if the authorities deemed he'd become a public threat. The inventor said the chip could be used to track terrorists, criminals, fugitives, illegal immigrants, political dissidents, domestic servants, and foreigners who are overstaying their visas. Now, folks, if you tell me that, how could we deny that we are living in the last days? We're seeing all this technology, even to the point, remember, because he forced everyone to receive this mark. If you don't receive the mark, you are killed. And we're seeing the technology with all this already happening to be implanted.
It's all coming to pass. We're going to have to finish this up next month. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Martin.
Our guest has been Pastor Billy Crone. I hope you've enjoyed our conversations, and of course we do have his DVDs. If you want to hear the whole interview with Sidney Aaron Russo, Aaron was a friend of ours. We talked to him a number of occasions before he died, and this is an interview he did with Alex Jones. But it's on these DVDs now. Basically, there are 10 of them, and there are 5 in part 1, part 2. It's called The Final Countdown. They're available through Radio Liberty. We're putting them onto CDs, so we have the first CD. It's called Countdown to Armageddon. Now, that's different than The Final Countdown. That's the DVD set. If you want to get the CDs and listen to them so you can listen to them several times, why, that is Countdown to Armageddon. The first one is available. The others will be available soon. So remember our telephone number, it's 1-800-544-8927. But I will tell you the DVDs that, pardon me, the videos that are on the DVD are really fascinating. All of the scriptures are there. You'll learn a great deal. Barbara and I, my wife, we enjoyed watching it, and we'll probably watch it again. You need to be able to see the signs of the times, and they should be so obvious. Well, Sidney, that's The Final Countdown, Part 1 and Part 2, or get the two of them together at a suggested specially reduced price. Then I want to mention we've completed my talk on the current financial crisis. It's called Financial Armageddon. Financial Armageddon, it is a DVD. It's a two-hour talk we've given. We've been holding it back because we wanted to get the PowerPoint on it, and now the PowerPoint's there. I'll have to say I'm very happy with it. And then, of course, we have a syllabus that goes with that, information that you need to have to understand what's going on today. So that is the DVD, Financial Armageddon, and the syllabus that goes with that at a special price. And then, of course, we want to remind you about the Conspiracy Conference. That's June 6th, June 7th. If you want more information, the place to go would be conspiracycon.com. Conspiracycon.com. I'm going to be giving the lead-off talk there on Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Ted Gunderson, a few of our friends, are going to be speaking as well. And we'll have a table there. If you're interested, go to conspiracycon.com. Let me remind you about some of the other very professional DVDs we have. The Secret Mystery Series, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, going into the secret societies that were here. And you say, well, I've never heard of secret societies that were here when America was created. But they were. And the reason you haven't heard about them is because of the control that exists over the media. And then, of course, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then, of course, the latest one, Eye of the Phoenix. Eye of the Phoenix. You'll certainly want to get that. Incidentally, Chris Pinter, who produced these three DVDs, will be our guest tomorrow evening as we talk about the architecture of our nation's capital. The secret architecture of our nation's capital. You'll certainly want to get the DVD on vaccines, vaccine and brain development. You'll want to get the our latest four CD set on vaccines, a Vaccine Update 2000, our number 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And this evening, they're going to be the views of Mr. Steve Hickson, who is a seed cleaner. What is a seed cleaner? Well, you're going to learn that this evening. You're going to learn a lot of things, and I think this is going to be a very interesting program. You know, I lived in South Africa. One of the things that you're well aware of was that the government was largely controlled by De Beers Diamonds. De Beers Diamonds, of course, has a monopoly on diamonds that are produced throughout the entire world, and is certainly a law unto itself throughout the world. And probably the worst thing that you could have happen to you would be to find a diamond cone in your backyard with a couple of $1 billion worth of diamonds and try to put those on the market or sell them, because you would be given an offer you couldn't refuse. And if you refused it, I think you would probably end up in very, very serious problems. Well, certainly I know one of the tricks they used in South Africa was to offer to sell you uncut diamonds. Now, it's illegal in South Africa to have an uncut diamond. And I was approached at least twice, when I was there, by people who say, well, wouldn't you like to buy uncut diamonds? Well, I didn't know very much, but I knew that this was something that you shouldn't be mixed up with, and so I just said, no, I'm not. Well, oh, my goodness, you can make all sorts of money, and when you go back to America, you sell those uncut diamonds, and, well, no. But what they do is, well, it's sort of like they do here in America with a lot of young, foolish Muslim people. They tell them, oh, my goodness, we got to get those terrible Americans, you know, they're killing the Muslims throughout the world. Just join me. We're going to blow up the Sears Tower. And a lot of people who would never think of committing a crime are actually enticed into committing crimes by agent provocateurs who are hired by the government to actually get people to break the law. Certainly, you go over in what's known as the Diamond Coast of Southwest Africa, and you can walk along the beach there, and certainly laying in the sands are all sorts of large diamonds. But you certainly don't want to pick one of them up, because they have their army. The De Beers has an army, armed vehicles, the professional mercenaries. They're there to capture anybody who dares to walk along the Diamond Beach, which is the shore of Southwest Africa, littered with diamonds. But, of course, we can't allow that. Well, basically, this evening, we're going to be talking about seed cleaning in the United States. What does that have to do with De Beers and Africa and the Diamond Coast and planting of agent provocateurs and, you know, throughout South Africa to entrap people into actually, buying uncut diamonds? Well, we have an independent organization in America that is certainly far more powerful in many respects than the federal government. It's called Monsanto. And, of course, Steve Hickson, thanks very much for being with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what seed cleaning is and why you have come under constant surveillance and why you are being tracked by Monsanto?
Good evening. A seed cleaner is called upon by a farmer to come out to his location and process various lots of seed. Basically, what I typically handle is soybeans and wheat primarily, although I handle a little bit of specialty stuff.
And like, basically, of course, the farmers want to get their seeds clean so they can replant them. These are seeds that they've grown, is that right?
Yeah, you just get the weed seed and sticks and foreign debris and also the smaller size seeds that typically won't produce very well. So whenever you get done, you have pure seed that's of a common uniform size and quality.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Now, this is something that's been done for many years by farmers so that they can plant the seeds the following year. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. It's as old as mankind itself. But with the evolution of genetically modified seed that really has no visual characteristics of its own, it's actually unidentifiable just by looking at it.
All right. Basically, when of course, you clean the seeds while you're just hired by the farmer, do you have some sort of a big combine, some sort of machine that does the seed cleaning?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little more highly specialized than a combine. Combines typically thresh it and get it to a certain point, whereas a seed cleaner has a series of mechanisms that will actually size the material and do a highly accurate job of the finished product.
And so this is so that these seeds can actually be taken by the farmer and they can use his machinery to disperse them and plant them the following year. Is that right?
Right, yeah. The mentality is that your soil will only handle so much population, so you better do everything you can to make sure it's a healthy population.
A healthy population of seeds. So basically then you're employed by the farmers there and you're part of, what part of the country do you live in?
Southeastern Illinois.
All right, southeastern Illinois. You're hired by the farmers there to clean up the seeds and they sell a large part of them. What portion of their product of the seeds that they have, do they save? What part do they sell?
Oh, I'd have to do just a little bit of math in my head to figure that, but on the planting rate on soybeans typically takes, let's just say, a bushel an acre, and at harvest time soybeans will yield 30 bushel an acre in a poor year and maybe as much as 60 or 65 and maybe even better in a good year. So, but wheat typically takes anywhere from a bushel and a half to 2 bushel to plant and will yield anywhere from, let's say, 40 to 70 and maybe even 90 bushel an acre yield extremes. So it takes more wheat to plant than it does beans, but soybeans primarily is where the genetic modified issue is coming into play.
And that is because, of course, Monsanto has genetically modified the soybeans. Is this Roundup Ready product? Is that Roundup Ready seeds? Is that what it's all about?
Yeah, they've taken a soybean with 66,000 genes and inserted one patented gene into it. And
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Steve Hickson, who is a seed cleaner. And basically, of course, traditionally, down through the centuries, why farmers have saved seeds left over so they will have a crop for the next year. But, of course, to use the seeds in their regular seed planters, why they have to be cleaned and sized and so that they can actually do the planting the following year. And so Steve is hired by farmers all across his area there in southeastern Illinois to clean the seeds for them. Well, this really never was a problem until recently when, of course, Monsanto developed a seed, and basically it's a seed that has planted in it a Roundup a gene that will allow the plant to withstand spraying with Roundup so that you can kill the weeds and you're not going to have weeds in the field. But this is a very special type of seed. The farmers have to sign an agreement that they will not, of course, plant those seeds, that they will go ahead and buy new seeds each year. Is that basically what it's about?
Yeah, in a nutshell, but
not every farmer has signed agreements. To get around that, Monsanto has what they call a user's agreement that's on the bag now. I have read some data that suggests that 13% of all the federal court cases that Monsanto has brought has been a result of forged signatures. A lot of these farmers think, well, if they don't sign the contract, then they're not bound by the terms of it, which, you know, the way conventional wisdom would lead you that that would be the case, but the judicial system apparently doesn't see it that way. If you have their patented material, you could technically be liable.
And so basically what the Monsanto is doing is they have their own system of inspectors and detectives and trackers who are going out all over the farms all across America to track down farmers who are using their Roundup Ready seeds. Is that right?
That's right. Whenever you see a press release that says they use all the latest in technology, you better take that literal. Whatever your imagination can come up with, there's a high likelihood they're using it.
Now, basically, do they go onto the fields to check it? Why would they be concerned about you as a seed cleaner? Because you don't know whether anything about the seeds other than the fact that you're cleaning seeds.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to have to care as a seed cleaner. When you look at the history of a lot of these seed companies, or most of them, every one of them was seed cleaners. That's how seed companies get started. You're a seed cleaner, you use that to build your equity and your customer allegiance, and you learn the industry that way. And for them to deny a seed cleaner the same humble beginnings that they had is an anti-competitive move.
But of course, they're going to say, well, but we're trying to track down the people who are using our seeds without our permission. Isn't that correct?
Apparently. They want to use people like me to get to individuals they consider as violators, which there's a reward system that's been designed by Congress. And Monsanto chooses to ignore that reward system and use a system which they've designed themselves.
Well, now, what sort of reward system did Congress design to? Well, is this to reward the farmers for using or for not using it, or reward?
It's a reward system to reward the plant breeders. All these parent lines, especially in the soybean lines, we got them from China. And they got them from Japan. But we have nearly a century of history of public funding in these parent lines. Around 1970, Congress allowed private industry to borrow them. We loaned it to them. We've never given it to them. And it was to encourage economic stimulus and cut federal spending. And this is one of the very few times that their intent actually worked out.
So basically you're talking about Congress was going to lend the seeds to who?
To private industry.
All right, fine. So they would have access to the these soy seeds that had come from China and from Japan. Go ahead.
Yeah, and see, for decades they were in the hands of our universities. And a lot of our soybean varieties had common names like Williams and Macon's and Mavericks and Logan's and Unions and so forth. And whenever they got in the hands of private industry, it was implied they were going to take these genetic lines and breed them together and come up with more genetic combinations. And it was also implied they were going to sell them for a profit. But it was never implied they owned them. The reward system that was designed by Congress was called the Plant Variety Protection Act. And if a seed company come up with a very specific genetic sequence they wanted to protect and market under their label, they were issued a certificate through that PVPA for short, and it protected that. If I remember right, the language said 18 years, but there was an exemption of infringement that was very clear. It says farmers' right to save seed, and that was put in there to protect the heritage that our public funding has afforded us for our future. So that has been the reward system that has been honored by all these seed companies for all these years. And all of a sudden, Monsanto gets into the arena And they've taken this soybean with 66,000 genes approximately and inserted one patented gene, I think it's a protein, and lay it in that DNA strand. And now they claim supreme ownership over the entire genetic infrastructure.
Well, now, of course, is there any way that these fields could get contaminated by cross-pollination from other fields? Or if you have these genetic seeds, does it mean that you've actually planted Monsanto's proprietary seeds?
Well, the contamination is so easy to happen, even through Monsanto's own plant and other seed companies. One bean is enough to start the ball rolling through the genetic population. If there's one contaminated seed in a semi-load and it gets planted, it's just, you know, time will take over, you know. There's what's called an adventitious presence. It's referred to as a natural order. In other words, they know it has the ability to contaminate the ecosystem.
And, of course, this in Monsanto, then, is intentionally contaminating the ecosystem with a type of a soybean that really, of course, can contaminate everything. Maybe that's, of course, why they're actually trying to save these seeds up in the area off of Finland, you know, in the tundra there and an island where they can keep all of these seeds for fear that they're all going to be destroyed. Certainly, I think what Monsanto and others are doing, contaminating our basic seeds, has potential that we will not know the full impact of for many generations. Well, we have a gentleman, one of your contemporaries, Michael White, who's on the line. So let's talk to Michael here. Michael, are you a seed cleaner? Are you a farmer, or what? Where do you fit into this?
I'm a farmer, a seed cleaner, and a seed producer from Alabama.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what's happened to you as far as Monsanto. I understand Monsanto is tracking people by satellite. They have spies planted every place to track down people who may be stealing their seeds. Is that right?
Well, yeah. They took thousands of photographs of me, my customers, family, and business. They officially sued me in 2003, but prior to that, in 97 or 8, they had salesmen going around giving their seed away and telling people to do what they wanted to with them. They sort of set everybody up. Nobody believed back then you could get a farmer could get slammed in federal civil court for saving seed, which is something that has been done since the third day of creation, Genesis 1:11, when God created seed, you know.
Well, are they saying they shouldn't save seed, or you shouldn't save any seed that has their gene in it? Is that, what are they basically saying?
They were passing out their seed. Nobody in our area that I'm aware of, and, you know, of 100 farmers or more, had ever saw a technology agreement until 2003, much less signed one. So it's fallen under the intellectual property rights, but this is reproductive patent. I mean, this is something that, you know, several generations down the road, it's still patented, you know, and it's unprecedented.
Well, what happened? But, what happened when they sued you, Michael?
Well, we stayed in court a good 3 years, I guess, 3.5 years, but, you know, almost any farmer is underfunded and underrepresented when you go to a federal court fighting a Fortune 500 company, you know. They have billions of dollars. You know, most farmers do good to scrap up $100,000, you know. And I think I was in court 2 hours and 20 minutes. So in 2006, my legal bills was well over $100,000, you know. So it takes $1 million to fight them, you know, even halfway fight them, you know, so.
So what happened with, the lawsuit?
We ended up, they, actually backed down, in the courtroom. I got their investigators breaking a lot of laws on video. One of their, salesmen put a very carefully worded death threat on me and said they had also killed another farmer in Mississippi, doing a little boasting, but got him on tape camera. But they backed down in court. We went to mediation, and then we settled it confidentially. You know, you can look me up on the internet, and they got all kind of big figures, make your head swim. But it was settled confidential, and I left out of the courtroom real happy.
All right, fine. In other words, but did you say that they've actually been violent with some people?
Oh yeah, I was. They was confrontations, physical confrontations around here with their. These guys trespass, you know, they're private investigators.
Hold that, we'll be right back. Well, Michael, you were just saying they have these private investigators out there, and some of them actually resorted to violence to against the farmers?
Well, they pushed these farmers.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
There's more Roundup, and a lot of the farmers would like to get away from the Roundup Ready seeds, but all of the seeds are Roundup Ready. In other words, Monsanto has a monopoly. Now, do you think it's because, and either one of you, either Steve or Michael, answer this, is it because the fields have been contaminated, or is it because most of the farmers thought this was a great idea? They purchased the Roundup seeds or Ready seeds, or they just used them, or they borrowed them from somebody else and planted them. I mean, why is it that almost all the seeds in our country are Roundup Ready today? Was this what Monsanto intended? Did they sell them? Did the farmers use them, thinking they'd get away with it? What's the real basis of what's going on?
In the beginning, the agriculture industry was thirsty for new weed control. The chemical methods that was being used prior to Roundup Ready, 21 days after planting, when beans got a few inches high, typically known as canopy, you'd spray over the top with a residual chemical that would kill them weeds as they were coming up and just emerging, and lay down some residual control. But it also induced a little bit of injury to the soybean plant. The Roundup Ready technology will kill everything but the soybean. In other words, the soybeans can keep on thriving through that chemical event.
And how do you spray? Do you use aerial spraying, or do you use hand spraying?
Just land sprayers, or just like any other piece of equipment. You drive it across the ground, and there's these spray booms that are, various sizes. Some of them 60 foot wide, some of them 90 foot, and drive about 8 miles an hour or 10, and spray the field in a pattern as you go. Just go back and forth until you got the entire acreage covered, and then your chemical control on that field's taken care of.
Okay, well, what happened? Did most of the farmers go in for it? Did some of the farmers get their crops contaminated? I know this happened to one gentleman we talked to was up in Canada, and he claims he never bought their seeds, but his fields were contaminated by the pollen from adjacent fields.
Probably with canola.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, canola, I'd say, is easily contaminated. It's been some time ago, but I read a study, and I kind of think it was from the University of Iowa that done a study on contamination in soybean fields, and it was done by the bees. And apparently, no matter what size the field was, whether it was a 10-acre field or a 90-acre field, those bees tend to want to go to the center of the field, and that's where most of the contamination was. However, if you have non-genetically modified beans in one field and you have a neighbor's field that borders right up next to you, and he has Roundup Ready, and he just drives out in your field to turn around and sprinkles a few of them, and then you cut yours, then your contamination has already started. If you have a half a bean and a semi-load, that is enough to dock you from your premium price that you could have received at harvest. And the premium recently here in southern Illinois, there was a lot of guys booked non-GMO beans this year for $2 a bushel premium over regular market price because there's such a demand for them and low volume in existence.
In other words, the farmers want the non-GMO of soybean seeds. Is that it?
You bet. Yeah, around here, people are just dying to get away from them. But the amount of seed stock that's available, it just isn't there. It's going to take a few years for it to get back.
Well, now, of course, what did they actually do? My understanding is they actually were tracking you by satellite, and they were following you and doing all these things, tracking you because you were a seed cleaner. Is that correct?
Yeah, a year ago, the end of March, somebody had gotten into my shop. And at the time, I wasn't smart enough to put two and two together, and I really didn't even think they got in, but there was enough evidence inside my shop that I knew something wasn't right. Well, the ways that that I've got it put together is there's an individual or more than one got in there trying to find my company records.
Hold that thought. We'll be back again. They're tracking people to find out who he feeds clean seeds for. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we're talking about the what happened. You say they actually broke into your office, and did they get the records they wanted?
Well, the way it turned out, what they actually got into was just normal machine notes that are really, I'm the only one that knows what they mean, just equipment calibrations, and I really didn't have any hard records in that particular location for them to get to. But, I, you know, there definitely was evidence in the barn lot that there was a stray vehicle that had entered my property. And as luck would have it, that very same morning that I noticed that, a county deputy pulled in my drive just not more than 10 minutes behind me, and I pointed it out to him. And actually, he was doing a little follow-up on some four-wheeler vandalism issue that we had going on at the time, and pointed that out to him, and we just assumed it was them same punks that was doing that, but through the course of time, I was able to put two and two together and realize that it wasn't them punks at all. It was actually these investigators, you know, starting their surveillance on me.
Well, don't most most farmers save seeds? Or do most farmers buy seeds?
I tell you what, farmers buy new seeds. They always have and they always will. But this is not good enough for Monsanto. They want it all. They want to make you have to buy their seeds every year and all of it.
I mean, basically, there are not very many. There's no supply then of non-GMO seeds out there. At least, only until recently is there beginning to be a supply. Do you think the farmers would ever just say, "We're not going to buy anything more from Monsanto because of the way we've been treated"?
In this particular region here, after what they've done to me, the word is out, and these farmers are in a mad scramble to get as far away from them as they can.
Well, now, what have they specifically done to you?
Well, actually, they've done the same thing to me that they've done to, like, Mr. White and Maurice Parr in Indiana, and there was a co-op, Farmers Co-op in Pilot Grove, Missouri. Now, Maurice Parr and I have portable equipment, where Mr. White and this co-op have permanent mount structures. But what they do is they would, with our portable equipment, they would track us to the locations where we would go. And a lot of these are very remote locations, these farms.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Steve Hickson, and we're talking about, of course, what happened to him. He's a seed cleaner. And apparently then the Monsanto, now are you sure that they were actually tracking you as you moved your equipment from one side to another? Can you prove that? Is there
anything? Well, absolutely. It was, you travel these rural roads, and somebody that's tuned into their surroundings, you know, they're not stupid. I'm not. I go to these farms, and you'll know if somebody's following you.
Oh, you mean they're tracking you in a car behind you? Is that what you
mean? No, they definitely were not just absolutely following me. They're, I mean, that's I wouldn't. I don't buy. But after I'd get at these farms and typically be there for 30, 45 minutes, and we would have equipment set up and running, they'd drive by with ground support vehicles and photograph the location. And
well, then how would they know where you were? How do you think they were able to track you?
The only other explanation is they were tracking me electronically.
All right, fine. So then maybe they put some sort of electronic device on your car, which you're suggesting. And then, of course, you would see them. Were you able to get pictures of them to be sure that this was legitimate?
I get in these neighborhoods, of course. I run 13 counties in Illinois, and then I also traveled to other states. But you get in these neighborhoods, you don't really know who's a local vehicle and who's not. But looking back on it collectively, there was a small assortment of ground support vehicles that that I recall seeing time and time and time again.
By ground support vehicles, what do you mean, Suburbans? Or?
It was their, they was like Nissan Pathfinders, something
all right.
along
all right,
that
fine.
Line.
Okay.
This one in particular was dark in color and had some antennas on it and a thick plastic cover over the license plate and had the windows smoked out. But they'd drive by the location and take a series of photos.
Well, of course, it's illegal to have a covered license plate, isn't it?
I would say it is.
Okay.
But, these people are above the law, you know. So.
All right, fine. So they come by, they take pictures of what you were doing, but what you were doing was perfectly legal.
Yeah, there's no law against it.
Right?
Yeah, there's no law against it. We've broken no laws.
So basically what they were saying is we want to know who he's cleaning seeds for, with the idea being then that they were probably, those seeds were probably the Monsanto seeds. Is that the idea?
Apparently, but you see... for them to violate my reasonable expectation of privacy to get to another individual is just, you know, puts people like me in a unique position. I have no agreement with Monsanto. I have no signed contract with them. I hold no allegiance to them or any other seed company. Farmer calls me to do a job, I go do it, you know. We set up the time, and all I care about is running my equipment.
All right, fine. Well, then would they go after this this farmer because you'd clean seeds for them?
Oh, yeah. Last fall, after they tracked me for an entire year, they conducted surveillance even, you know, after the soybean season was over with, whenever I'd switched over and started cleaning wheat. And right in the dead beginning of corn harvest, and I mean every combine in the country was rolling. They pulled in with several teams of investigators and started interrogating these farmers about their association with my business. And boy, they covered a lot of territory in a hurry.
Well, of course, couldn't the farmers just say, I'm not even going to talk to you?
Mm-hmm. Many of them did. And there was, I mean, because guys are busy. I mean, that there is their major financial time. And they, Monsanto done it just to be, pardon my French, they done it just to be a bunch of horses' rear ends, you know. But they, I mean, that's just the way they operate. They're mean, they're arrogant, and all they care about is extorting money out of the population.
Well, now, did they threaten these farmers?
Oh, absolutely.
They were going to bring suits against them if they didn't pay them off? Was this what it was?
Absolutely. Coerced statements and settlements. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you're certainly agreeing with that then, Michael. This is the same thing that happened in your area?
Absolutely. They pursued many, many farmers in my area that was not growing their seed. They were growing conventional seed, and these... It was none of Monsanto's business, and these farmers had to gather hundreds and thousands of documents. They can go back 6 years on you. It's about 10 times worse than an IRS audit. They have to gather all these documents, and they hit you. I had to turn in thousands right before Christmas of 04. They hit you at these strategic times when you don't have time to run around 30 days getting documents, you know.
Well, now, what sort of documents would you have to provide? I mean, do you have to have a document on the type of seeds you plant?
All of your checking accounts, every financial transaction, every check, every deposit, what it was, all your farming records, all your chemical records, all your seed purchase, all your chemical purchase. It just goes on and on and on. I think I had like 6,500 documents I had to do in like a four-day period. 6,500, you know, 2 foot tall. But,
What happens if you threw away the documents? You didn't keep them.
They even go back further than IRS does. They scream wolf. They claim you destroyed them on purpose, you know, and most farmers don't have near the documents that they request, you know. And then they get a court order, they get into the farm service, and they get all your records. And they even got a court order to get into my banks and stuff, you know. But they scrutinize everything, you know. And then they trump up these figures that'll make your head swim, you know, how much you've damaged them, all these millions and all the accounts. And if they ask for their legal fees, it's staggering, you know. It turns a farmer's hair gray if he's not already gray.
How many of the farmers have they done this to? Do you have any idea?
Oh, God.
Thousands.
Well, no, if this is really going on, why aren't we hearing about it? Why didn't somebody go to 60 Minutes or 2020 or one of the big television?
They control the media.
Let me answer that for you. Very, very few farmers, you can count them on both of your hands, there's more than five, can come out of court or come out of any type of their threatening letters and even talk to you on this radio show. Because these farmers take a silence and confidentiality, silencing for life, that they won't talk to anybody. I told the judge he could hang me outside of the courtroom if he had a tree, but I wouldn't stay in quiet. And I didn't have to stay quiet. I wrote a book. I published a book against them soon to come out of court.
I tell you the interesting
thing. Well, I hope maybe you'll send me a copy of that book. I'd love to see it.
The title of it is The Sixes is in the Seed. You control seed, you control humanity.
I see. And, Chris, this is really what Monsanto apparently wants to do. And then they're demanding secrecy agreements with thousands of farmers. Is this what you're suggesting?
You bet.
I have friends that were sued or pursued heavily by Monsanto, and when they see me, they came talk to me. Some of them are church members and Sunday school teachers, and if I mention the word seed, they have to put their hands up and say, Michael, I can't talk about that. And they'll do that for the rest of their life. They're scared to death. If they break that confidentiality agreement, they can go to jail. And Monsanto wants some farmers in jail. To scare up all the other farmers with. They like to come into areas, sue the seed cleaner, sue one or two big farmers, sue one or two small farmers that they're going to lose money on, and then that makes everybody scared of the big bad Monsanto, and everybody is afraid of them. And Monsanto is not trying to get control. They have already gotten control.
Well, couldn't you sure go after them for a conspiracy? This is obviously a conspiracy.
They own the judges.
I won't say that, but you better have a briefcase full of money. No law firm wants to wage a lawsuit against Monsanto on behalf of a farmer. Mitchell Scruggs of Tupelo, Mississippi, has spent millions. His case is 10 years old. These things drag out forever, and it can cost millions.
Well, you're making it sound as if they're a very unscrupulous company.
See, in a civil case, if you win, they just appeal. It's not like robbing a bank and being found not guilty and you go home, you know. In a civil case, if you're found not guilty, they appeal, and they keep appealing until they get before a judge that is favorable to them. And these appeals cost a lot more than the lower courts. I mean, it's nothing to drop $30,000 a day when you're fighting, you know, in a higher appeals court. Mitchell Scruggs spent, you know, probably in excess of $20 million making it to the fifth jurisdictional court in Washington. And I think his case lasted 20-something minutes, best I was told. And he sued him on the Sherman Antitrust Monopoly Law and got stomped when he went up there.
What happened when he sued him under the Sherman Antitrust Law? Did he win or lose?
I think it was basically, I didn't read his court minutes, but it was basically said that he proved 92% control, and they said, well, the farmer still got the option to go buy the other 8% control, 8% of the seed. But as far as I know, this is the first time the Sherman Act has ever failed to do its job. Monsanto is very powerful, and the USDA, the EPA, this is a 30-year plan. This didn't happen overnight, you know. Monsanto, they made Agent Orange. They dumped PCBs in the town of Anniston, Alabama, here in killed hundreds and thousands of people. And then they announced the next day they were suing 75 Alabama farmers. I was the first. They wanted me for a poster boy. But Monsanto is deeply rooted into our government, and this thing is worldwide. They're pushing it. I saw today the Catholic Church has been anti-genetically modified, and they're about to cave in and become pro-genetically modified. Well, we shouldn't even be saying genetically modified. We should be saying genetically altered, because this is nature cloned.
Now, what about as far as the other seeds? Have they genetically modified the wheat yet? I know they've done the canola and the cotton.
They're beginning to. Cotton is. Corn is 99%. Corn, you know, way out there. They're also inserting these BT gene, bug tolerant genes, into corn. It produces a toxin. That's the reason you don't see as many airplanes, crop dusters flying, because these plants produce a toxin that kills the insects when they eat on the plant. But these plants also send that juice and toxin right on into the fruit, and then we go down to our super grocery store and we buy it and eat it. We are consuming pesticides into our bodies from the genetically modified food we buy.
And, of course, I'm very, very concerned about that, and we have done a series of programs on that very subject, and I think it's an important subject, because there is no, actually, evidence that this is completely safe. In fact, we know that in Europe, the European countries, many of them, will not allow genetically modified crops to be grown there, but apparently people here have been bought off and purchased, so that we can't even let the American people know when they're getting something that's genetically modified that may be very, very toxic.
Yeah. They protest over there by the thousands, and here in America, we just accept it and eat it, you know.
Well, what can be done? How can this be negated? Certainly the farmers, apparently, in your area, Steve, are trying to get away from this genetically modified food. And do you think they can certainly do a good job without that, can't they?
Absolutely. You know, the absolute core of the issue is the patenting of life. I mean, that is the absolute core of the issue. The patenting of life should have never happened. It should have never have occurred. I think
one of the issue is the love of money being the root of all evil, and this is a very lucrative business. They own thousands of patents. The patent they sued me on, they make, you know, over $1 billion a year on that one patent. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you've noticed, you know, Monsanto stock hadn't took a tumble in the last few months of bad economy, because they are sitting on the most important thing in the world, seed.
You know, the most interesting thing of these court cases that someone on the outside looking in should set up and take notice on, when these users agreement or these contracts that several of these farmers have signed, actually, when you sign that contract, you're agreeing to have yourself taken to St. Louis. And is it the 8th District Federal Court, I think? But
yeah.
No matter what state you're in, if there's an issue with Monsanto, you're agreeing to being sued in that court.
Well, of course, that's court, probably a place where they own the judges or the
river. Sure, that's their headquarters.
So basically,
why would
any person in their right mind sign that contract?
Well, they don't know. These farmers just
unwittingly. They don't have any choice. To get seed, they have to sign.
Yeah.
Their livelihood depends on it.
But those judges all have Monsanto employment pedigrees. They all used to work for them.
I tell you what else is in that contract. A farmer is agreeing to control the movement of pollen.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know why that is? Where if this stuff goes awry and contaminates, kills a big vineyard, or worse than that, kills the whole ecosystem or destroys it, Monsanto can say, it's not my fault. Look here where the farmer agreed to control pollen. That is stupid, because the lawyers that wrote that contract up, I can stand them out in the middle of the field with their noses a quarter inch apart. They can't control the pollen blowing between their noses.
No. We have a farmer protection bill pending in the Senate here in Illinois right now, and the bill number is Senate Bill 2151, and it's very simple articles. The first one keeps you in the state of Illinois should an issue come up. In other words, you don't have to be taken to a Missouri court. You can stay in an Illinois court. It takes care of that venue. And the second article provides a lot of transparency in their investigation of a farmer. In other words, it drags in Department of Ag officials to oversee every aspect of the investigation that goes on. And the third article has to do with this contamination that actually makes Monsanto liable. But the Senate president, his name is Ron Cullerton. He's a partner in a law firm called Thompson and Coburn, and they've been hired by Monsanto for over a decade to sue farmers. And this Ron Cullerton is not letting that bill move.
The important thing is we get information out across America, get the farmers up in arms and say, we're not going to use your product no matter how good it is. Would that be something that ought to be done, do you think?
It's easier said than done.
Well, this will...
Hold up. Chevrolet on 99% automobile, you'd probably be driving a Chevrolet unless you walk.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, go right ahead. We've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Who wants to take off?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
get it out across America. You may want to get a copy of this tape to certainly to get in other people's hands. America is under attack today, and I'm really very seriously concerned for the safety of our food supply, for the safety of our people. And we are told, you know, in Revelation 6:8, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him is death, and power was given unto him to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword, by pestilence, and by famine, and by death. And, of course, the pestilence being disease, and, of course, the famine, well, I believe that we are going to be seeing terrible, terrible things in the not-too-distant future, because behind so much of this there are powerful spiritual forces that would destroy God's highest creation, which is mankind. Under any circumstances, we do hope you'll get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Help to get the message out, that you'll get our talk on the forbidden secret and get the syllabus that goes with that, that you'll get the DVDs on the secret mystery of America's beginning, Riddles in Stone, the Eye of the Phoenix, and then, of course, books like the Satanic Crimes goes into the Bilderberger Organization. Get our 4-tape set on the Bilderbergers. Get our two books we have on the Bilderbergers. Specifically on the Bilderbergers, but the Satanic Crimes goes into the Bilderbergers. We have a DVD on the Bilderbergers called Endgame. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove and a DVD on the Bohemian Grove called Secrets of the Bohemian Grove, and there you'll see the leaders of America in their black robes and their hoods, and of course their candles and their strains of sample or feigned human sacrifice. We assume it's a human sacrifice, although we do know that at least in the Vatican they have done their human sacrifices, feigned human sacrifices, but to coincide with a real human sacrifice. If that story sounds incredible, you need to get my 4-tape set on of the wisdom of Malachi Martin, who is a Jesuit priest, a confidant of Pope John Paul XXIII, who actually wrote a book called Windswept House, fictionalized story of what really goes on behind the scenes. And Father Malachi told me personally that the story of the satanic sacrifice in the basement of the Vatican to coincide with a human sacrifice, a real sacrifice, had really taken place. The book is, four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the book he wrote, Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil. You'll get a lot of books and information from Radio Liberty you'll never get elsewhere. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. To understand the influence of Christianity, or at least what happened to the Christian church under Adolf Hitler, one book we certainly recommend, Hitler's Cross. Hitler's Cross. We have a great deal of new information out there. We hope many of you will want to get it. We have, of course, a great new 4-tape set on Deadly Assassins, 4-CD set, if you like these, prefer the CDs. And you'll hear my interviews with two assassins trained by the CIA. You'll hear my interview with the man who wrote the book, Target Patton, who had actually interviewed and has the diary of a man who said he was actually commissioned to kill General Patton. We carry the book, Target Patton. We have a 4-tape set on the assassination of Martin Luther King. Interviews with people who went to the trial where, of course, the King family brought charges against the man involved with the murder of Martin Luther King, a trial you've never heard of. Of course, we have a 4-tape set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy, and we carry the book, Who Killed Bobby, and the DVD, RFK Must Die. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.
The night with the light from above, from the mountains.